welcome to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven, which promises to be so upbeat and exciting that you just won't know what to do with yourself after a week of Cardinal baseball. Only if you're on an alternate Earth, I think, is what we're going to get out of this. This is Tara and I. I'm Daniel Shoptaw. You probably know that. You've been watching listening to the show for a while, but I'm at C70. This is Tara Wellman, who's at Tara Wellman on Twitter, who's going to have a new Bird Seeds up tomorrow, from what we understand. So look forward to that. But Tara, yeah, this is not exactly the way you wanted to start out the 2017 season, is it? You lose 2 out of 3 to the Cubs, you lose 2 out of 3 to the Reds, and it's starting to be a little bit harder to point out what is going right for this team.
Yeah, you know, I was actually okay after that opening series with the Cubs. I mean, obviously you don't want to drop 2 of 3. You don't want to lose a series to anyone, but especially a division rival, especially the reigning World Series champions. But I felt okay after that because I saw a lot of moments where just one hit or one play made would have completely tipped that series in the Cardinals' favor. And while you can look at that and be very frustrated that they couldn't come up with that play, I felt pretty good watching the Cardinals be very competitive with the Cubs. I mean, this is the team that's supposed to run away with the division, and in all likelihood that we could see that very reasonably. But the Cardinals played them tough all the way through the series, and it wasn't a you never felt like the Cubs were going to run away with it, and the Cardinals were, in a number of cases, just one swing away from sweeping that series, realistically. So I felt okay coming out of that series, dropping 2 of 3 to the Reds for the first time since, you know, losing the series to the Reds for the first time, I think, since 2011 is what I saw today. Not a great feeling. Even worse when you realize that they got shut out in 2 of those 3 games, one of which was against a kid who was making his major league debut. So all those I think we're going to be okay feelings after the first series, really hard to hold on to those after a series like this against the Reds.
Yeah, there's just and again, it's 6 games. It starts the season. There's a long way to go. Yeah, yeah, we know all that. But I think the biggest problem is if you're coming off a playoff year, if you're coming off a good, solid season, and you have this kind of start, then maybe you cut some people some slack. But we're seeing some of the same problems that we saw last year. Inability to hit at any kind of consistency. We're not seeing the power that we saw last year, obviously. And, you know, the starting pitching is doing well, but the bullpen has been shaky, including Mr. O, who has now given up 2 home runs in the first week of the season. You know, I mean, Brett Cecil has, you know, caused some issues. It seems like we can put a lot of blame on Mike Matheny, and I'm sure we will, but we can't blame him for bringing in Sam Tuilavaala or Miguel Solokovich and watching them blow games. It's the guys that are supposed to be, you know, locking things down that have been very shaky, and that's a little concerning even this early.
Right. I think that it's interesting that you mentioned both O and Brett Cecil, because we talked a little bit after opening night last week that the decision to go to O and not bring Cecil in the 8th inning was one that caused a bit of controversy. Mm-hmm. Shocker, a Mike Matheny decision that caused controversy. But, you know, I was a little frustrated with the fact that you go out in the offseason, bring in a guy whose job is basically to get lefties out, and then you don't use him against the tough lefties in the Cubs lineup. That seemed like an instant misuse of the pieces of that bullpen. And yet, a few days later, we saw Brett Cecil go out there and, well, not be able to get guys out that he should be able to get out, that they're the reason he's in that role right now. So, not a great start to his career for the Cardinals. I think it's a little unfair to let that be the, I don't know, it's a little unfair to judge him too harshly based on the minimal work that we've seen from him, but it is a little bit concerning to see a bullpen that gave up, what, five home runs? Well, now today, another one, six home runs in six games. That's not a great start, especially, and I plan to talk about this a little bit in the Birdseeds video tomorrow that you mentioned. So little teaser here, but it's definitely a concern for this bullpen when you look at the way that the starting rotation is going to shape up, not because they're not great, but because I can see a number of situations developing where the strength of the bullpen is going to be of absolutely critical importance to this team if they want to be competitive in the Central, much less, you know, any sort of postseason run. We've seen that before. I think getting Trevor Rosenthal back will maybe right the ship a little bit, but O's struggles in particular are pretty concerning to me at this point.
And before we leave Brett Cecil, I did notice some people tweeting from Toronto after his, I don't want to say meltdown, because in some degrees he could have gotten out of his game on Thursday if somehow balls didn't magically attach themselves to Yadier Molina. But they said, you know, he'll be fine come June or July. I do note that Cecil's April career, for his career, he's 4-13 with a 5.09 ERA in April. So he may just be a bit of a slow starter. Of course, that's taking into some starts and things like that. And I will say his June numbers aren't much better. But, you know, I think some of this is skewed because Cecil has been better the last two or three years, really developing into that closer or reliever that he's been. But it does sound like that he's a slow starter. And so hopefully that's the case. Hopefully that we'll see him. But, you know, you're right. You see him give up the three-run home run on Thursday. You see him come in today, face a lefty, and automatically give up an RBI single. Things like that get you. You don't get to make a second chance to make a first impression, and that's not a great first impression to make.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's interesting that we're sitting here hoping for the return of Trevor Rosenthal to make the bullpen better. but Trevor will be back tomorrow with Tua Lavalla going down, and again, you know, Tua Lavalla hasn't been the problem. So we're going to be interesting to see how a guy maybe that Matheny can trust to use a little bit more, which is fair. I don't know that you wanted to see Sam Tulevala on in a lot of these games, being how close they were. If a guy that he trusts makes a difference in how things go, hopefully it does. Hopefully he'll be a guy that can lock things down for a bit. I just don't know. I think it's a very much the worst way this month could have started is how it started, because you have a bad game out of Carlos Martinez today. Like I say, the starting rotation has looked pretty good. But I think that, you know, we've gone long enough without addressing the elephant in the room, and that might be generous compared to some of the fielding that he's done. But Matt Adams is not an emergency outfielder. Matt Adams has probably played more outfield than some of these guys that were supposed to start, like Stephen Piscotty. I just don't know. I mean, again, I understand the idea of putting Matt Adams out there. I understand the idea of, you know, getting his bat in, because I think Matt Adams has had a good start to the season. I've seen him take some very good at bats. But this is just a weird situation, it feels like, that Mike Matheny's going to keep running him out there until it works. Even if that's, you know, July.
Oh, I don't know if I can take it till July. No, I think that it's been sort of fascinating to watch this scenario develop, even just in the first week of the season, because when this first came up in spring training, it was sort of this thing that everybody laughed off, like, yeah, okay, that's Matt Adams in left field. That's a good joke. And then it actually happened, and we all were ready to, well, I guess most people have been ready to run Matheny out of town, but, you know, that it just reestablished that emotion for many people, when he actually put Matt Adams in the outfield. But even then, it was this, okay, we're gonna see if we can get him some reps and see how he does out there, because we want to a backup plan to find him some playing time if we need to. it seems like there are some much more logical backup plans to finding Matt Adams playing time on this team, but that's neither here nor there. So then he runs out into left field after Stephen Piscotty gets injured in the most bizarre way possible. And then he stays out there, and he stays out there, and he starts the next two games out there, and it's all good and well until he has to actually make a play on a ball and not just catch a routine pop-up. I don't know. There are a lot of opinions about this, and I think it ultimately depends on how valuable you think Matt Adams is offensively to this team. If he's going to be the asset they need offensively, then you find a way to work him into the lineup, and if that means sacrificing some defense in left field, you just hope that he creates more runs than he costs. I don't know that that's really been the case thus far. It's been entertaining if you don't actually care about the outcome of what happens in left field, but if you're trying to string together wins, it doesn't seem like the most defensible attempt at putting the best guys in the best position to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I'm listening to a show, another Cardinal podcast called The 11th Inning Stretch, and they were in their pregame stuff, in preseason stuff, talking about this idea of Matt Adams in there, and they had this idea that, you know, somebody had put throughout that, will he play 15 innings over or under in the outfield? That was for the year. That was not for the first week, which is what has happened. It's very fascinating. Again, as Corey Rudd said on Twitter today, you know, Matt Adams hasn't cost them a game. He has not lost them a game by misplaying a ball out there. He has made some very spectacular misplays, don't get me wrong, but they haven't been the difference in the game yet. We'll see if that continues. But it's just very strange to see them make such an effort on Matt Adams when, you know, Jose Martinez came into the season as hot as anybody. If you can't, I mean, I think he may have cooled off by the end of spring, but still, he played well enough to make the team, and he's an actual outfielder. You have, and then there's the flip side of this, of why in the past, and I think we've seen a little bit of him this year, but why in the past was there not the same kind of effort to get Colton Wong in the lineup when you really want to play him, really want to get him going? There's not that effort, but why are we, you know, avoiding some of the more obvious things like moving Matt Carpenter back to third and let Matt Adams play the position he's used to? Why is his bat that valuable? Again, I like Matt Adams. I think he's done well for limited results this year, but it's just really weird to see this kind of, you know, focus on Matt Adams playing outfield.
It is, and, you know, it brings up an interesting point when you compare it, like you said, to Colton Wong, and that is that I think there seems to be an increasing difference of opinion, maybe between Mike Matheny and John Mozeliak, and that is that Mo really wants this team to be defensively minded. But we've seen for two seasons now that Mike Matheny manages to the offensive side of the game. And I hadn't really thought a whole lot about the comparison between Adams and Wong and the way that the two of them have been managed. But I do think it brings up an interesting point in whether or not the team that John Mozeliak is building is the kind of team that Mike Matheny will manage effectively. And that's not a new question, but this is bringing it into a different light, I think, as far as the value he places on the potential Matt Adams offense. And I think it's important to clarify that it's the potential Matt Adams offense, because we've seen him be really good. We've also seen him be absolutely awful for long stretches of time. So this isn't a guaranteed offensive machine that you're putting in the lineup. It's the potential for something to happen, much like there's the potential for Colton Wong to make a spectacular defensive play. So it maybe shines a light a little bit on what the manager thinks is most important for this team. And to be fair, again, we're talking about a team that got shut out twice by the Reds. So offense is clearly an important factor right now. I'm not necessarily making a judgment call on which one of those things should be Mike Matheny's focus, just suggesting that maybe this lets us in a little bit to what he's looking at when he's putting this lineup on the field.
Which is really, when you point it out like that, is really fascinating, because you would expect, I think, that a former player would then emphasize what he was good at. And Mike Matheny was a defensive guy. He was not necessarily a guy that hit much for average, or he definitely didn't hit for power. He had his moments, but he was considered defense first. So you would expect him to try to run out a defensive lineup, and yet he doesn't. Matt Adams has more starts in the outfield than, or as many starts in the outfield as Jose Martinez has at bats. That's not what you expect. And again, you look at that, this idea of a platoon at second base, and we saw Colton Wong get a start against a lefty. Now we're seeing Jerko get a start against a righty. I'm not as 100% sure that Mike Matheny understands what a platoon means. at least the strict definition of it. It's Mike Matheny, like you said, Mike Matheny is always going to get a lot of grief. I don't know that Mike Matheny could cure cancer and people wouldn't go after him for taking so long to do it. But he doesn't do himself any favors with some of the stuff that he does. And it feels to me that he likes to double down on things. As soon as people start criticizing him, he's going to continue to do that just to prove to prove people wrong, even when they're not.
Yeah, which is interesting, because I think that Colton Wong has a little bit of that in him. So that may be why the two of them butt heads every now and then, because they seem to be the kind of people that if you tell me I can't, I'm going to say watch me. But yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, I think, watching as Mike Matheny continues to almost try to prove himself by proving that it can work his way, as opposed to proving himself by continuing to grow and to develop as a manager. I think that's going to be the storyline a lot for this team, because that's the kind of roster that this is. I mean, if you look at this team and compare it directly to what Joe Maddon is working with the Cubs this year, it may not be quite the lineup that they had last year, but he still has a lot of potential superstars in that lineup that don't necessarily take a lot of kind of micromanaging to make things work. This isn't a roster that necessarily plays to that sort of strength, has that sort of flexibility in the ways that it can be successful. And we saw that a little bit last year. We talked about that a lot last year, in that they tried to create a lot of flexibility and it didn't work, because it just led to this confusion and inconsistency. I still think that this is a roster that has a lot of really great pieces. I just think that putting them in the best position to succeed is the only way that this team will succeed, and I don't know that playing guys out of position on a regular basis is the way to do that.
I will say this for the idea that Matt Adams is playing out of position: it draws attention away from some of the other problems that this team is having. as you look, Dexter Fowler's hitting 174, Matt Carpenter's hitting 150, Johnny Peralta, 143, Randall Grichuk, just a little over 200, about 217. These are guys that were supposed to be kind of key to this offense. And like we said, you know, two shutouts this week. The game against the Cubs on Thursday, they scored three runs, but, you know, at least a couple of those came after an error. Another one run game against the Cubs. The offense hasn't been there. Somebody on Twitter, it was Brendan from Redbird Rants, B Doobie, asked how far does Mosellock let things go if they start getting bad before he does something, whether it's a trade, whether it's a significant shakeup of the roster. If you know, you hate to make too many, and I think that it will go longer than it probably should with John Mosellock, because he's not likely to make a move early. That being said, you know, as we proved last year, every game matters.
Yeah, I think that the challenge would be trying to identify what is going to make the difference. Is it a middle of the order hitter? Is it a superstar starting pitcher? Is it a closer? Which one of those things that has gone wrong this week is going to flip the switch and make things that much better? Because the reality is, John Mosellock does not like to trade from the major league roster unless he absolutely has to, in which case, Alan Craig and Joe Kelly. but that doesn't happen often with this team. That's not the way he likes to try to improve this club. So in order to get to the point where he goes after some really big dramatic shakeup, I think you'd have to identify what is actually going to make a difference. And at this point, it's far too early to make that decision right now. I think the idea that this is going to work itself out in the next month would be great, but at that point, you know, you're looking up at the Cubs and at this point the Reds. So you have to, again, just like Mike Matheny has to put his players on the field in the best position to be successful, Mo has to create an environment and a roster that does the same thing. And if you just keep doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result, you know, that's not great management on the shoulders of either of those guys. So I don't know. That's a tough question to ask after the first week. I think, how long do you let it go? Because there's just not a lot to work with at this point, but it's something that I think it just needs a lot of other information before that can even be a real conversation at this point for me.
You know, that, and you mentioned that, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, you know, that's typically the definition of insanity.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, I figured you were. So, and I wonder also now, if Mo does move Matt Adams in the next month, can it be seen as anything else than a repudiation of his manager? I mean, it feels like, you know, you could have traded Matt Adams in the offseason, and that's fine. But if Matt Adams gets traded now, it really feels like this is another Alan Craig or Mitchell Boggs deal where you take something out of Mike Matheny's hands and, you know, just so he can't write him into the lineup or into left field anymore. I'm not saying that Mo's going to do that, but you got to wonder if Mo's not thinking about it.
Yeah, you know, I would agree to some extent, except that Matheny seems to be pretty on board with this let's try him in left field thing. I don't think he meant, you know, what, 3 out of 6 games to start the season. But nonetheless, there may be some inkling in the back of his mind that if this is a guy you can give another position to, that could increase the trade value. So I don't know that it's something that he's going to be particularly concerned about at this point, unless, like Corey was saying, he starts single-handedly costing this team wins. Then it becomes enough of a liability that the novelty is not quite as great. And then, you know, you're not necessarily adding to his value. You're taking away from it by showcasing the fact that he's not skilled at another position. So that can backfire really quickly. So I don't know. I think that for some reason, Matt Adams is a guy that they really would like to find a place for. I don't know that they're doing it in the greatest way at this point, because it's making him look like he's not as valuable as they think he is. And we've seen that before with John Mozeliak and some prospects sometimes, that he seems to value much more than anyone else in the game does. That's a storyline that we've talked about a number of times in the past with Mo, but I don't know. I think, 6 games in, it's a little early to be talking about trading Matt Adams, as a method of eliminating him from the equation. But when you start to talk about getting 6, 7, 8, 9 games behind the Cubs in the Central, you know, that adds up really quickly. And if Matt Adams in left field seems to be the common denominator, well, then you start looking at other options.
Yeah, I think that you're right. It's just Matt Adams, if Mo wanted him out there to help increase his trade value, it didn't work.
Yeah, no.
And it's just, it doesn't feel like, even if Matt Adams went, you know, 2 or 3 weeks without any major incidents, the two, you know, obvious, you know, ugly move plays out there in the last week have really overshadowed anybody's thoughts on that. So I don't know. Yeah, you're right though. I mean, we may not see Matt Adams out in the outfield again. Maybe we don't, or maybe it's just a rare thing. That being said, we kind of thought that after Thursday, and that didn't happen. So it's difficult to know. And nobody, very few, are going to give Mike Matheny the benefit of the doubt here either. I mean, they're not going to say, well, he's figured it out. Even though Johnny Peralta is no longer hitting cleanup, so there's something there, I guess. It's just kind of weird, kind of scary. I guess maybe to finish this up, because there's only so much of this depressing stuff we want to talk about, let me pose you a question that I also posed on Meet Me at Mutual this week. Which of the following was the craziest thing that you saw this week? Was it Stephen Piscotty getting hit 3 times in 1 base pass circuit? Was it Adam Wainwright throwing perhaps the worst pitch ever in a major league game? Or was it a ball sticking to Yadier Molina so much with nobody could actually find it? I think those are the only really, I mean, that's a wild week, and that was really only like 4 days. So which of those would you put as like the craziest thing that you've seen so far?
First of all, the fact that all 3 of those things happened opening week cannot be a good omen.
Also true.
It cannot be a good sign. I could not get over the Stephen Piscotty situation, just because, I mean, getting hit once while you're stealing a base, it happens. Getting hit on 3 consecutive plays, that shouldn't happen. But the sticky baseball that I just, there seems to be no explanation for that, that anyone is willing to give. So I think that's probably the most bizarre out of all of those things. But man, that's a pretty low bar if we're talking about which one is the strangest.
I never expected to see General Cardinal highlights on Jimmy Kimmel. You know, he did a whole thing on Stephen Piscotty. That tells you right there, just this is weird. I'd even, you know, the Adam Wainwright thing has to, like, I mean, it was a terrible pitch, but at least it's a pitch. I mean, that's something that you see. I mean, we live through Rick Ankiel. We live through a lot of things. Pitchers bounce pitches, okay. And if that happens, yeah, it's we talk about it for a day or so, but you let it go. But when you mix that in with all the other stuff, it's like, what else is going to happen this year?
You know, I think what it was is that they were trying to make Adam Wainwright not feel so bad about that pitch by making other weird things happen.
maybe, I mean, it's as good a reason as anything else.
Either that or, you know, the Twitter famous Cardinals devil magic saw that Adam Wainwright pitch and it was like, oh yeah, watch this.
Yeah, it's kind of backfiring a little bit. This isn't exactly the way we're supposed to use this stuff, but
right.
Cardinals have been home and obviously continuing their trend from last year are now 2-4 at home. They go on the road, so if they're going to follow last year's script, at least this week's going to be better. But they go to play the Nationals for three games, although the Nationals did just get obliterated by the Phillies a couple days ago. Jeremy Guthrie is not on the team anymore, so that may not happen. And then an off day, and then they go to New York to face the Yankees and Mr. Matt Holliday, who got his 2,000th hit over this weekend, and so far looks pretty good as a Yankee. I don't know that we want to draw a whole lot of conclusions given what things are going on in St. Louis's outfield, but it kind of feels like that would have been a $15 million probably well spent.
Yeah, it could not have been the worst thing they came up with for the left field situation. Yeah.
We're going to see Fowler, we're going to see Piscotty, and we're going to see Grichuk. And you wouldn't see that if Matt Holliday was still in town. I mean, that's right. Just not likely to happen, and I get that. But when you've had a week like you've seen this week, heck, even Matt Holliday's, you know, just below average defense is something you still long for.
Yeah, see, he wouldn't have tried to make a play on either of those spectacular fails. He would have just played it off the wall.
Yeah.
Which would have been okay. I would have been okay with that.
Yeah, because, you know, that tends to get the ball back in, not when you're laying on right. The ground because you go for them or something like that. So, it's going to be interesting to see an old familiar face in a new place this weekend. So the Nationals, the Yankees, that's a tough one. But next week, it's Sunday Night Baseball. So Tara and I may be recording this late. We may record it during the game. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But we'll get a chance to watch them on the national television again. And so far this season, they're 1-0 on ESPN. So we're hoping that holds. For Tara Wellman, I'm Daniel Shoptaw. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.
And welcome to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven, which promises to be so upbeat and exciting that you just won't know what to do with yourself after a week of Cardinal baseball. Only if you're on an alternate Earth, I think, is what we're going to get out of this. This is Tara and I. I'm Daniel Shoptaw. You probably know that. You've been watching listening to the show for a while, but I'm at C70. This is Tara Wellman, who's at Tara Wellman on Twitter, who's going to have a new Bird Seeds up tomorrow, from what we understand. So look forward to that. But Tara, yeah, this is not exactly the way you wanted to start out the 2017 season, is it? You lose 2 out of 3 to the Cubs, you lose 2 out of 3 to the Reds, and it's starting to be a little bit harder to point out what is going right for this team.
Yeah, you know, I was actually okay after that opening series with the Cubs. I mean, obviously you don't want to drop 2 of 3. You don't want to lose a series to anyone, but especially a division rival, especially the reigning World Series champions. But I felt okay after that because I saw a lot of moments where just one hit or one play made would have completely tipped that series in the Cardinals' favor. And while you can look at that and be very frustrated that they couldn't come up with that play, I felt pretty good watching the Cardinals be very competitive with the Cubs. I mean, this is the team that's supposed to run away with the division, and in all likelihood, that we could see that very reasonably. But the Cardinals played them tough all the way through the series, and it wasn't a you never felt like the Cubs were going to run away with it, and the Cardinals were, in a number of cases, just one swing away from sweeping that series, realistically. So I felt okay coming out of that series. Dropping 2 of 3 to the Reds for the first time since, you know, losing the series to the Reds for the first time, I think, since 2011 is what I saw today. Not a great feeling. Even worse when you realize that they got shut out in 2 of those 3 games, one of which was against a kid who was making his major league debut. So all those, I think we're going to be okay feelings after the first series, really hard to hold on to those after a series like this against the Reds.
Yeah, there's just, and again, it's 6 games. It starts the season. There's a long way to go. We know all that. But I think the biggest problem is if you're coming off a playoff year, if you're coming off a good, solid season, and you have this kind of start, then maybe you cut some people some slack. But we're seeing some of the same problems that we saw last year. Inability to hit at any kind of consistency. We're not seeing the power that we saw last year, obviously. And, you know, the starting pitching is doing well, but the bullpen has been shaky, including Mr. O, who has now given up 2 home runs in the first week of the season. You know, I mean, Brett Cecil has, you know, caused some issues. It seems like we can put a lot of blame on Mike Matheny, and I'm sure we will, but we can't blame him for bringing in Sam Tuilavala or Miguel Solokovich and watching them blow games. It's the guys that are supposed to be, you know, locking things down that have been very shaky, and that's a little concerning this even this early.
Right. I think that it's interesting that you mentioned both O and Brett Cecil, because we talked a little bit after opening night last week that the decision to go to O and not bring Cecil in the 8th inning was one that caused a bit of controversy. Mm-hmm. Shocker, a Mike Matheny decision that caused controversy. But, you know, I was a little frustrated with the fact that you go out in the offseason, bring in a guy whose job is basically to get lefties out, and then you don't use him against the tough lefties in the Cubs lineup. That seemed like an instant misuse of the pieces of that bullpen. And yet, a few days later, we saw Brett Cecil go out there and, well, not be able to get guys out that he should be able to get out, that they're the reason he's in that role right now. So not a great start to his career for the Cardinals. I think it's a little unfair to let that be the, I don't know, it's a little unfair to judge him too harshly based on the minimal work that we've seen from him, but it is a little bit concerning to see a bullpen that gave up, what, 5 home runs? Well, now today, another one, 6 home runs in 6 games. That's not a great start. Especially, and I plan to talk about this a little bit in the Birdseeds video tomorrow that you mentioned. So little teaser here, but it's definitely a concern for this bullpen when you look at the way that the starting rotation is going to shape up, not because they're not great, but because I can see a number of situations developing where the strength of the bullpen is going to be of absolutely critical importance to this team if they want to be competitive in the Central, much less, you know, any sort of postseason run. We've seen that before. I think getting Trevor Rosenthal back will maybe right the ship a little bit, but O's struggles in particular are pretty concerning to me at this point.
And before we leave Brett Cecil, I did notice some people tweeting from Toronto after his, I don't want to say meltdown, because in some degrees he could have gotten out of his game on Thursday if somehow balls didn't magically attach themselves to Yadier Molina. But they said, you know, he'll be fine come June or July. I do note that Cecil's April career, for his career, he's 4-13 with a 5.09 ERA in April. So he may just be a bit of a slow starter. Of course, that's taking into some starts and things like that. And I will say his June numbers aren't much better. But You know, I think and some of this is skewed because Cecil has been better the last two or three years, really developing into that closer or reliever that he's been. But it does sound like that he's a slow starter. And so hopefully that's the case. Hopefully that we'll see him. But, you know, you're right. You see him give up the three-run home run on Thursday. You see him come in today, face a lefty, and automatically give up an RBI single. Things like that get you... You don't get to make a second chance to make a first impression, and that's not a great first impression to make.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's interesting that we're sitting here hoping for the return of Trevor Rosenthal to make the bullpen better. but Trevor will be back tomorrow with Tua Lavalla going down, and again, you know, Tua Lavalla hasn't been the problem. So we're going to be interesting to see how a guy maybe that Matheny can trust to use a little bit more, which is fair. I don't know that you wanted to see Sam Tulevala on in a lot of these games, being how close they were. If a guy that he trusts makes a difference in how things go, hopefully it does. Hopefully he'll be a guy that can lock things down for a bit. I just don't know. I think it's a very much the worst way this month could have started is how it started, because... you have a bad game out of Carlos Martinez today. Like I say, the starting rotation has looked pretty good. But I think that, you know, we've gone long enough without addressing the elephant in the room, and that might be generous compared to some of the fielding that he's done. But Matt Adams is not an emergency outfielder. Matt Adams has probably played more outfield than some of these guys that were supposed to start, like Stephen Piscotty. I just don't know. I mean, again, I understand the idea of putting Matt Adams out there. I understand the idea of, you know, getting his bat in, because I think Matt Adams has had a good start to the season. I've seen him take some very good at bats. But this is just a weird situation, it feels like, that Mike Matheny's going to keep running him out there until it works. Even if that's, you know, July.
Oh, I don't know if I can take it till July. No, I think that it's been sort of fascinating to watch this scenario develop, even just in the first week of the season, because when this first came up in spring training, it was sort of this thing that everybody laughed off, like, yeah, okay, that's Matt Adams in left field. That's a good joke. And then it actually happened, and we all were ready to, well, I guess most people have been ready to run Matheny out of town, but, you know, that it just reestablished that emotion for many people, when he actually put Matt Adams in the outfield. But even then, it was this, okay, we're gonna see if we can get him some reps and see how he does out there, because we want to a backup plan to find him some playing time if we need to. It seems like there are some much more logical backup plans to finding Matt Adams playing time on this team, but that's neither here nor there. So then he runs out into left field after Stephen Piscotty gets injured in the most bizarre way possible. And then he stays out there, and he stays out there, and he starts the next two games out there, and it's all good and well until he has to actually make a play on a ball and not just catch a routine pop-up. I don't know. There are a lot of opinions about this, and I think, it ultimately depends on how valuable you think Matt Adams is offensively to this team. If he's going to be the asset they need offensively, then you find a way to work him into the lineup, and if that means sacrificing some defense in left field, you just hope that he creates more runs than he costs. I don't know that that's really been the case thus far. It's been entertaining if you don't actually care about the outcome of what happens in left field, but if you're trying to string together wins, it doesn't seem like the most defensible attempt at putting the best guys in the best position to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I'm listening to a show, another Cardinal podcast called The 11th Inning Stretch, and they were in their pregame stuff, in preseason stuff, talking about this idea of Matt Adams in there, and they had this idea that, you know, somebody had put throughout that, will he play 15 innings over or under in the outfield? That was for the year. That was not for the first week, which is what has happened. It's very fascinating. Again, as Corey Rudd said on Twitter today, you know, Matt Adams hasn't cost them a game. He has not lost them a game by misplaying a ball out there. He has made some very spectacular misplays, don't get me wrong, but they haven't been the difference in the game yet. We'll see if that continues. But it's just very strange to see them make such an effort on Matt Adams when, you know, Jose Martinez came into the season as hot as anybody. If you can't, I mean, I think he may have cooled off by the end of spring, but still, he played well enough to make the team, and he's an actual outfielder. You have, and then there's the flip side of this, of why in the past, and I think we've seen a little bit of him this year, but why in the past was there not the same kind of effort to get Colton Wong in the lineup when you really want to play him, really want to get him going? There's not that effort, but why are we, you know, avoiding some of the more obvious things like moving Matt Carpenter back to third and let Matt Adams play the position he's used to? Why is his bat that valuable? Again, I like Matt Adams. I think he's done well for limited results this year, but it's just really weird to see this kind of, you know, focus on Matt Adams playing outfield.
It is, and, you know, it brings up an interesting point when you compare it, like you said, to Colton Wong, and that is that I think there seems to be an increasing difference of opinion maybe between Mike Matheny and John Mozeliak, and that is that Mo really wants this team to be defensively minded, but we've seen for two seasons now that Mike Matheny manages to the offensive side of the game. And I hadn't really thought a whole lot about the comparison between Adams and Wong and the way that the two of them have been managed, but I do think it brings up an interesting point in whether or not the team that John Mozeliak is building is the kind of team that Mike Matheny will manage effectively. And that's not a new question, but this is bringing it into a different light, I think, as far as the value he places on the potential Matt Adams offense. And I think it's important to clarify that it's the potential Matt Adams offense, because we've seen him be really good. We've also seen him be absolutely awful for long stretches of time. So this isn't a guaranteed offensive machine that you're putting in the lineup. It's the potential for something to happen, much like there's the potential for Colton Wong to make a spectacular defensive play. So it maybe shines a light a little bit on what the manager thinks is most important for this team. And to be fair, again, we're talking about a team that got shut out twice by the Reds. So offense is clearly an important factor right now. I'm not necessarily making a judgment call on which one of those things should be Mike Matheny's focus, just suggesting that maybe this lets us in a little bit to what he's looking at when he's putting this lineup on the field.
Which is really, when you point it out like that, is really fascinating, because you would expect, I think, that a former player would then emphasize what he was good at. And Mike Matheny was a defensive guy. He was not necessarily a guy that he did not hit much for average, or he definitely didn't hit for power. He had his moments, but he was considered defense first. So you would expect him to try to run out a defensive lineup, and yet he doesn't. Matt Adams has more starts in the outfield than, or as many starts in the outfield as Jose Martinez has at bats. it just, that's not what you expect. And again, you look at that, this idea of a platoon at second base, and we saw Colton Wong get a start against a lefty. Now we're seeing Jerko get a start against a righty. I'm not as 100% sure that Mike Matheny understands what a platoon means. at least the strict definition of it. It's Mike Matheny, like you said, Mike Matheny is always going to get a lot of grief. I don't know that Mike Matheny could cure cancer and people wouldn't go after him for taking so long to do it. But he doesn't give himself, he doesn't do himself any favors with some of the stuff that he does. And it feels to me that he likes to double down on things. As soon as people start criticizing him, he's going to continue to do that just to prove yep. people wrong, even when they're not.
Yeah, which is interesting because I think that Colton Wong has a little bit of that in him. So that may be why the two of them butt heads every now and then, because they seem to be the kind of people that if you tell me I can't, I'm going to say watch me. But yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, I think, watching as Mike Matheny continues to almost try to prove himself by proving that it can work his way, as opposed to proving himself by continuing to grow and to develop as a manager. I think that's going to be the storyline a lot for this team, because that's the kind of roster that this is. I mean, if you look at this team and compare it directly to what Joe Maddon is working with the Cubs this year, it may not be quite the lineup that they had last year, but he still has a lot of potential superstars in that lineup that don't necessarily take a lot of kind of micromanaging to make things work. This isn't a roster that necessarily plays to that sort of strength, has that sort of flexibility in the ways that it can be successful. And we saw that a little bit last year. We talked about that a lot last year, in that they tried to create a lot of flexibility and it didn't work because it just led to this confusion and inconsistency. I still think that this is a roster that has a lot of really great pieces. I just think that putting them in the best position to succeed is the only way that this team will succeed, and I don't know that playing guys out of position on a regular basis is the way to do that.
I will say this for the idea that Matt Adams is playing out of position. It draws attention away from some of the other problems that this team is having. you know, as you look, Dexter Fowler's hitting 174, Matt Carpenter's hitting 150. Johnny Peralta, 143. Randall Grichuk, just a little over 200, about 217. These are guys that were supposed to be kind of key to this offense. And like we said, you know, two shutouts this week. The game against the Cubs on Thursday, they scored three runs, but you know, at least a couple of those came after error. Another one run game against the Cubs. The offense hasn't been there. Somebody on Twitter, it was Brendan from Redbird Rants, B. Doobie, asked how far does Mozeliak let things go if they start getting bad before he does something, whether it's a trade, whether it's you know, a significant shakeup of the roster. If you know, you hate to make too many, and I think that it will go longer than it probably should with John Mozeliak, because he's not likely to make a move early. That being said, you know, as we proved last year, every game matters.
Yeah, I think that the challenge would be trying to identify what is going to make the difference. Is it a middle of the order hitter? Is it a superstar starting pitcher? Is it a closer? Which one of those things that has gone wrong this week is going to flip the switch and make things that much better? Because the reality is, John Mozeliak does not like to trade from the major league roster unless he absolutely has to, in which case, Alan Craig and Joe Kelly. but that doesn't happen often with this team. That's not the way he likes to try to improve this club. So in order to get to the point where he goes after some really big dramatic shakeup, I think you'd have to identify what is actually going to make a difference. And at this point, it's far too early to make that decision right now. I think the idea that this is going to work itself out in the next month would be great, but at that point, you know, you're looking up at the Cubs and at this point, the Reds. So you have to, again, just like Mike Matheny has to put his players on the field in the best position to be successful, Mo has to create an environment and a roster that does the same thing. And if you just keep doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result, you know, that's not great management on the shoulders of either of those guys. So I don't know. It's a tough question to ask after the first week. I think, how long do you let it go? Because, there's just not a lot to work with at this point, but it's something that I think, it just needs a lot of other information before that can even be a real conversation at this point for me.
You know, that, and you mentioned that, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, you know, that's typically the definition of insanity.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, I figured you were. So, and I wonder also now, if Mo does move Matt Adams in the next month, can it be seen as anything else than a repudiation of his manager? I mean, it feels like, you know, you could have traded Matt Adams in the offseason, and that's fine. But if Matt Adams gets traded now, it really feels like this is another Alan Craig or Mitchell Boggs deal where you take something out of Mike Matheny's hands, and, you know, just so he can't write him into the lineup or into left field anymore. I'm not saying that Mo's going to do that, but you got to wonder if Mo's not thinking about it.
Yeah, you know, I would agree to some extent, except that Matheny seems to be pretty on board with this let's try him in left field thing. I don't think he meant, you know, what, 3 out of 6 games to start the season. But nonetheless, there may be some inkling in the back of his mind that if this is a guy you can give another position to, that could increase the trade value. So I don't know that it's something that he's going to be particularly concerned about at this point, unless, like Corey was saying, he starts single-handedly costing this team wins. Then it becomes enough of a liability that the novelty is not quite as great. And then, you know, you're not necessarily adding to his value. You're taking away from it by showcasing the fact that he's not skilled at another position. So that can backfire really quickly. So I don't know. I think that for some reason, Matt Adams is a guy that they really would like to find a place for. I don't know that they're doing it in the greatest way at this point, because it's making him, look like he's not as valuable as they think he is. And we've seen that before with John Mozeliak and some prospects sometimes, that he seems to value much more than anyone else in the game does. That's a storyline that we've talked about a number of times in the past with Mo. But I don't know. I think 6 games in, it's a little early to be talking about trading Matt Adams as a method of eliminating him from the equation. But when you start to talk about getting 6, 7, 8, 9 games behind the Cubs in the Central, you know, that adds up really quickly. And if Matt Adams in left field seems to be the common denominator, well, then you start looking at other options.
Yeah, I think that you're right. It's just Matt Adams, if Mo wanted him out there to help increase his trade value, it didn't work.
Yeah, no.
And it's just, it doesn't feel like, even if Matt Adams went, you know, 2 or 3 weeks without any major instance, the two, you know, obvious, you know, ugly move plays out there in the last week have really overshadowed anybody's thoughts on that. So I don't know. Yeah, you're right though. I mean, we may not see Matt Adams out in the outfield again. Maybe we don't, or maybe it's just a rare thing. That being said, we kind of thought that after Thursday, and that didn't happen. So it's difficult to know, and nobody, very few, are going to give Mike Matheny the benefit of the doubt here either. I mean, they're not going to say, well, he figured it out. Even though Johnny Peralta is no longer hitting cleanup, so there's something there, I guess. It's just kind of weird, kind of scary. I guess maybe to finish this up, because there's only so much of this depressing stuff we want to talk about, let me pose you a question that I also posed on Meet Me at Mutual this week. Which of the following was the craziest thing that you saw this week? Was it Steve Piscotty getting hit three times in one base path circuit? Was it Adam Wainwright throwing perhaps the worst pitch ever in a major league game? Or was it a ball sticking to Yadier Molina so much with nobody could actually find it? I think those are the only really, I mean, that's a wild week. And that was really only like 4 days. So which of those would you put as like the craziest thing that you've seen so far?
First of all, the fact that all three of those things happened opening week cannot be a good omen.
Also true.
It cannot be a good sign. I could not get over the Steven Piscotty situation just because, I mean, getting hit once while you're stealing a base, it happens. Getting hit on three consecutive plays, that shouldn't happen. But the sticky baseball that there seems to be no explanation for that, that anyone is willing to give. So I think that's probably the most bizarre out of all of those things. But man, that's a pretty low bar if we're talking about which one is the strangest.
I never expected to see, General Cardinal highlights on Jimmy Kimmel. He did a whole thing on Steven Piscotty. That tells you right there, just this is weird. The Adam Wainwright thing has to, like, I mean, it was a terrible pitch, but at least it's a pitch. I mean, that's something that you see. I mean, we live through Rick and Keel. We live through a lot of things. Pitchers bounce pitches, okay. And if that happens, yeah, it's we talk about it for a day or so, but you let it go. But when you mix that in with all the other stuff, it's like, what else is going to happen this year?
You know, I think what it was is that they were trying to make Adam Wainwright not feel so bad about that pitch by making other weird things happen.
maybe. I mean, it's as good a reason as anything else.
Either that or, you know, the Twitter famous Cardinals Devil Magic saw that Adam Wainwright pitch and it was like, oh yeah, watch this.
Yeah. It's kind of backfiring a little bit. This isn't exactly the way we're supposed to use this stuff. But
right.
Cardinals have been home. And obviously, continuing their trend from last year, are now 2-4 at home. They go on the road, so if they're going to follow last year's script, at least this week's going to be better. But they go to play the Nationals for three games, although the Nationals did just get obliterated by the Phillies a couple days ago. Jeremy Guthrie is not on the team anymore, so that may not happen. And then an off day, and then they go to New York to face the Yankees and Mr. Matt Holliday, who got his 2,000th hit over this weekend, and so far looks pretty good as a Yankee. I don't know that we want to draw a whole lot of conclusions given what things are going on in St. Louis's outfield, but it kind of feels like that would have been a $15 million probably well spent.
Yeah, it could not have been the worst thing they came up with. For the left field situation.
Yeah. Should be. We're going to see Fowler. We're going to see Piscotty. And we're going to see Grichuk. And you wouldn't see that if Matt Holliday was still in town. I mean, that's right. Just not likely to happen. And I get that. But when you've had a week like you've seen this week, heck, even Matt Holliday's, you know, just below average defense is something you still long for.
He wouldn't have tried to make a play on either of those spectacular fails. He would have just played it off the wall.
Yeah.
Which would have been okay. I would have been okay with that.
Yeah, because, that tends to get the ball back in, not when you're laying on the ground because you go for them or something like that. So, So yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see an old face, old familiar face, in a new place this weekend. So the Nationals, the Yankees, that's a tough one. But next week, it's Sunday Night Baseball. So Tara and I may be recording this late. We may record it during the game. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But we'll get a chance to watch them on the national television again. And so far this season, they're 1-0 on ESPN. So we're hoping that holds. For Tara Wellman, I'm Daniel Shoptaw. Good night.